103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's The Sod Show with Brian Green and Peter Donegan. Good afternoon, Dublin. Gardening throughout till 3:30 here on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Coming up on today's programme, we're talking Malahide allotments. We've been there a couple of times in the last 3 years, but we're back with Brian Geraghty, and we have more on the developing story of a very new and young allotment in Malahide, but it's growing and it's growing and it's growing in more ways than one. That's coming up on today's programme. First, we say hello and thank you to our sponsors. They are greensacks.ie, compostable bags for your home and for your garden. Check them out on the internet at greensacks.ie. Check them out in the supermarket where you can download them into your trolley. Yes, I said download into your trolley. It's an in-joke on The Sod Show. Peter Donegan is outdoors in his shorts, gathering sun and all kinds of weather in Ireland, but sun at the moment, a little bit of rain. He has his microphones pointed in the direction of Malahide, North County Dublin, just past the border of the city limits of Dublin 13 and into the county past Portmarnock. And he is talking with Brian Geraghty at Malahide Allotments. Over to Peter.
Okay, about 2 odd years ago, I stood in a field in Malahide. It was a gentleman by the name of Brian, and I was told to come and meet him. We have no idea, in short, between the two of us, how the initial meeting came around. But I was shown a field of overgrowth, is probably the polite way to put it. 2 years later and a bit, I'm back again, and Brian, it's good to see you. It's good to talk to you again. Can you explain to people, first of all, who you are, what you do for a living, why I am back here again, and why I met you in the first place?
Well, you met me in the first place because somebody told you that I was going to set up allotments for epilepsy care, and I remember standing. In fact, we were in the ditch over there, hiding from the wind, and you thought I was mad. A lot of people thought I was mad, but now we've got room for 400 allotments. 362 of them are occupied. We have, between epilepsy, autism, stroke victims, we have 71 people here who all get their allotments free. And then the balance of them are let out to the public to fund the project. We have a coffee shop. We are propagating our own plants for sale as plug plants here. We sell seeds, composts, everything, right up to sheds. We don't do polytunnels because obviously they're a specialised product. And it's taken off. Like we spoke before we opened, and the day that we opened, Saturday the 10th of March, there were 83 people queuing up outside looking for their plots. So it ended up being, and now like we're up over 300, and it's been an administrative nightmare. It's taken me, 7 days a week. I enjoy every minute of it. You'd never get me sitting in an office again, even though we're sitting in a shed at the moment with a laptop. You wouldn't get me back in an office, no way, you know. So that's where we're at.
There was a nice moment about 5 minutes ago. Those who obviously weren't here, you're not here, but your bank manageress came up, and I thought you were in trouble when you said, "Oh, here's my bank manageress," but you were smiling. She bought seed potatoes off you.
That's right, yeah. When I go down to the bank to make lodgements, we talk about peas, we talk about carrots, we talk about potatoes, all that kind of thing. They just don't seem to want our money, you know. They just want to talk about veg.
400 allotment spaces, 360 approximately of them occupied. 2 years backtrack. I mean, it's that stereotypical sketching of man all of a sudden standing upright and learning to walk, where when you go back to the very, very start of it, he's almost a monkey, you might say, a bit of an eejit. I know there's women out there laughing, saying, my fella, yeah, he's still a monkey and still an eejit, but it was a very fast metamorphosis from nothing to something. Is that a fair way to describe it, what you have achieved?
Yeah, I think very fast. I think it was more like Formula One compared to just driving down the M1, compared to other allotments. Other allotments are great, but I don't know, we just seemed to hit the nail on the head. We had last year, like at our last, the end of our last year, which was this time last year, we had a 17% fall off, i.e. people moving out, and that's only 17%, but we still ended up with a 22% growth this year, so the demand is still there. I think the fact that we're a charity, and the fact that people can actually work beside, or you know, be in the same community of people with epilepsy and that kind of thing, I think that's a big plus for it. And people certainly are learning an awful lot more about epilepsy, which is one of our main goals, is Epilepsy Care Foundation. And we have people here, children, adults with autism, Asperger's, stroke victims. We've been talking to Acquired Brain Injury Ireland, and we have one of their chaps here, and he's got epilepsy bad. Unfortunately, Vincent had a very bad accident, developed a lot of problems. One of them was epilepsy, came along in here, and he helps us now in the nursery there. You know, that's what this place is all about. That's what it's all about. It's providing people with an opportunity to do something, give them a bit of confidence. It works that with children, it works it with adults. You know, if you've got epilepsy like I did, and all of a sudden you can't work, or you're afraid to work, you lose your confidence, come in here, it gives you an opportunity to try and get that back. And we encourage them, and we train them, and we help them, but we don't push anybody. And that's the way it works. We've got, as I say, adults here. We've got who's, you know, there's one guy here, and he was in the construction game, crane driver. Got epilepsy. He can't use a crane now for 10 years. Like, people with epilepsy, you can't drive for a year. But 10 years for construction, like a crane, or it same applies to a PSV, a taxi driver, a bus driver. And so he's finished work. And his life was just completely ruined. But he's up here about four times a week, even in the winter. So I feel we've done something for him. And we've certainly done stuff for families, young children. And the other thing about it is, you know, this place runs on the revenue, obviously. It has to have the revenue. The funds go back into the Epilepsy Care Foundation, obviously. But there's a lot of good out there, even in this day and age. That coffee shop that we've got there, which you were just in, that's a 40-foot porta cabin. But that was donated free of charge by a plot holder who had it shipped up from Limerick and put there. It was fitted out by a kitchen company. And then there are people here that there are small businesses around the place. Some of them are big businesses who donate money just because they either hear what we do or I ask them. Because all I can do is say no, you know.
For those of you who don't know Brian and have never met him before, Brian has a way of asking things where there is only one answer, and people tend not to say no. It's a bit like Grant Mitchell going up to a three-year-old Grant Mitchell out of EastEnders or one of them programmes and asking some kid for his ice cream. You just give it to him. That's just the way it is. And I think you tend to feel very good after it. Brian, on the 17%, and I'm going to ask this question like a real eejit, but I'm going to ask it anyway. On the 17%, you said there was a fall off of that amount. Would the fact that there are people who have epilepsy or other illnesses, I'm not even too sure if illness is the right word to use there, but would it have any direct relationship to do with that, or would it be because of, no, it's just statistically in allotments in Ireland that tends to be the fall off rate with people who think that it would be a good thing to do and then kind of turn around and go, actually, it didn't work out like the picture on the television show?
Yeah, the picture on the television show. I can honestly say that I don't believe one of the people that fell off fell off because they were working beside or with people with either epilepsy, Asperger's, or stroke victim or autism. I think people are attracted to coming here because they learn of people with epilepsy who are here. And certainly, I mean, I've had people come in here. I had one couple in here one day, and the father started crying just because we gave them a pot and we were able to do something for his kid. Simple. We've got a guy here who gives us a hand. He's got a plot. His wife and his daughter have epilepsy. And apart from the plot, he contributes a lot of time here working, doing volunteer work. Everybody here is a volunteer. Some people work here through the TOOS program, the Fingal TOOS program. They work here. Unfortunately, that's only a 1-year contract, and they end up going back on the dole, which I think is a joke. We try to get them into community employment schemes, and then you're told, well, we've got our quota, we don't want anybody else, blah, 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 blah. So the whole place works like that. Nobody has left here because they didn't like working with or beside the disabled at all. And nobody has left here, you know, because the place, because it's all volunteers and it doesn't seem to work. This place is very professional. Anybody that's been here knows this place is professional. We got three awards from the RDS in our first year. And we got two awards this year, one from Dublin Bus and one from AIB. So we are achieving what we want to do in providing something for people with epilepsy, etc. But we're also providing a huge community thing. There's an awful lot. I mean, there's 600 and odd people here. And our harvest day last year, we had over 400 people here. We ran out of barbecue food. We ran out of minerals. I was going up to the news agents up the road taking all this stock of minerals, and, you know. So it's grown and people know it. And the next stage, I know you probably think I'm nuts, but the next month, most people do, but we've got the propagation polytunnels there now. The first one we got through the Dublin Bus Award. There's 4.5 acres here that we don't use, which we're now going to turn into a community vegetable farm. And hopefully it'll be worked by and managed by, hopefully, people with epilepsy and autism. And it's 4.5 acres. We will grow everything here organically. We're trying to go for organic certification. That takes a year. And we'll supply whatever's in season. Like, if turnips are not in season in January, you won't get a turnip here. You can go to Tesco's or Aldi and buy it. And we're hoping to have 2 or 3 markets here a year from the stuff grown out of that 4.5 acres.
Impressive stuff, by all means. For those of you listening at home, first of all, I apologise if the way in which I asked Brian that question came out wrong. It wasn't intended, but in reality, there are people who do not know what epilepsy is. I'll get a definition of that from Brian in a minute. And also, there are people who have not got allotments, one of them includes myself, so therefore have never allotmenteered next to somebody with epilepsy. I would be one of those. So you play a devil's advocate a little bit and you ask the question, and now I have the exact answer, as versus it being statistics. And I know that there are drop-off rates in people taking allotments and handing them back, so we now have a clear answer that is solely to do with accounting, says Brian, but also that picture where you say, you know, it'd be great, honey, let's go down with the kids and the chickens and the hens, we'll get an allotment and it'll be great. And then you realise it's a bit cold out there and you neglect the thing for 4 months. We're going to take a wee little break, a wee little breather, and we go back to utter Brian back in the studio.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks, Brian. For more details, check out Epilepsy Care Foundation, epilepsycare.ie on the internet. And we'll be back with Peter and Brian in a couple of moments' time. This is the podcast version of the Sod Show, not the radio version. So that means that the music is left out. But if you were to hear the music, it would be the wonderful sound of Martin Byrne from his new single, cottage in the country. Check him out at martinburn.ie, and he's on YouTube as well at Martin Byrne Ireland. So martinburn.ie, cottage in the country, and you can give that a spin yourself. We're on the podcast, and we are The Sod Show, at Sod Show on Twitter, The Sod Show on Facebook, and sodshow.com for the back catalogue of programmes for the last 3 and a bit years. Here on 103.2 Dublin City FM, we'll go back to Malahide, into the centre of the allotments, into the log cabin, over to the table. It's Peter Donegan and Brian Geraghty.
Yes, and back to Malahide allotment, still in my company, is Brian. Brian, we noted in the first half of the show, just on epilepsy. Can you give me, I suppose, a definition of what it is for those who are not aware?
A definition.
Or a description.
Well, first of all, it's a disability. A lot of people think it might be an illness. A lot of other things, it's a disability. It's the easiest description I've ever heard is it's like an electrical storm in the brain. Basically, when you have a seizure, your nerve endings in whatever end of that brain, whatever part of that brain, for instance, I have my left temporal lobe is where I'm damaged. The when you have it, it's like an explosion of electricity going through those nerve endings, and that can affect different things. Some people have seizures. There are a whole lot of different types of seizures. You can have major seizures. You can have seizures in your sleep. You can have all sorts of things. It is disability which can happen through accidents, as with me. It can happen through various aspects of your health. There are loads of them. I'm not a neurologist. I only know what I've picked up. Dr. Delante, who's my neurologist and who set up the charity with me, could give you a much better description. The layman's term is like an explosion in the brain, you know.
To take what you have done is kind of a little bit, and I hope I've got this right. I don't think I'm too far off the mark, but to want to give something back to charity, some people would choose to, you might say, shake a bucket or ask for a donation. What you've done is kind of provided a service for which people are willing to give you pound notes for or euro notes for, and the excess money then from here goes back to the charity along that merry way. As you said, there is integration between people who have epilepsy or Asperger's or whatever the case may be, and people who obviously don't. I gather there's a little bit of it, and again, I apologise before I ask this question if it's asked incorrectly. That is, I can be a bit of a moron sometimes, but I don't think that's anything to do with how I was reared. But is there a little bit of integrating within society? How do I best ask the question, or how do you best answer what I'm trying to ask? Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, one of the biggest problems with epilepsy is that people are scared of it and they don't understand it, and as a result, they're scared of it. You know, you're walking along the street, or you're having a pint, or you're on a bus, or you're in the office, and somebody falls over and they start fitting, for want of a better word. You get scared of it. You don't know what to do. Like, people used to put spoons in people's mouths and all that. Don't ever do that. You know, they just don't know what to do. There's always been this scare. I mean, we used to be burnt to the stake as witches. You know, we were put up into madhouses, you know, that kind of thing. So people are just absolutely scared of it and don't understand it. And that's why if you get something like this and you're working with people with epilepsy, then you get a much clearer understanding of it and less fear. There's less fear involved. You can obviously, you know, you're out at dinner, you know, geez, the plot beside me, you know, there's a young girl in there with epilepsy, and she had brain surgery, and she had a seizure the other day, and I knew not to be scared. You know, okay, her parents were with me, but I knew not to be scared. You know, and of course, people come up to me and they say, what do we do if somebody has epilepsy, you know, or has a seizure, you know? So we're able to explain, you know, don't go holding them down, you know, let them just protect the head, make sure it's not, and then most people want to sleep afterwards, you know. That's on those type of seizures. There are other types of seizures as well. But I'm probably wandering off the point now. it is an integration. It's trying to get people integrated into society, trying to get society or the community. I hate the word society. Trying to get people integrated into the community, build up their self-confidence again. In some cases where adults have small children, build up their self-confidence that they can actually live with a person with epilepsy, with a child with epilepsy. And it's getting the community to understand people with epilepsy, i.e. me and everybody else like me, you know. Integration is key to the whole thing. Integration and epilepsy care. I don't really want to go down this road, but, you know, the monitoring situation in Beaumont and Cork that's been in the news, etc., and Dr. Riley and all the rest of it, you know, that's a bloody disgrace. That is, and I'm not going to go back over it again. It is an absolute disgrace. Prior to this, you know, the monitoring unit in Beaumont was two beds with a curtain between them. Now, I don't care whether you're as experienced as I am with epilepsy or not, but if you're in one side of that curtain and there's somebody else on the other side and they're having a seizure, you're going to get scared. M-S-H-less. It happens. Then, because it was like that, you couldn't have a girl and a boy in the same place. The equipment was crap. So they go off, they buy all this stuff, and then they won't employ the staff. And Cork is still not open. You know, our aim is to build a centre for epilepsy care, specifically for epilepsy care, on a charity basis. I mean, I do believe in universal healthcare, and it could work. But if we have to set up a trust, an actual fund trust, to run it so that people, members of the public, can go in there without having the Department of Health or the HSE pay for them, we will. And as you know, the original plan, we started in 2006, then the crash came, the money dried up. But we're still back on a five-year plan. And we will build it.
Does the allotment raise money that goes into that central fund? Is that the case? Is that what happens? Is there excess dosh that comes out of here that goes to that?
Yeah, believe it or not, in year one we broke even. Year two, I don't know the figures yet, but we probably had a small profit. All of the funds go into the Epilepsy Care Foundation. There is no separate bank account for Malahide allotments. And dare I say it, we're not the CRC or rehab. Nobody gets paid a salary. And it just literally, it's controlled by the by myself. I'm a trustee, by five other trustees. It's controlled by our auditors. We're controlled by the revenue and the charitable organisation. I mean, that's another thing, whatever control or charities or whatever, that could have been done years ago. But we're controlled under all of those things, you know. So, yes, everything goes back in. It can't come out because it's actually, the place is run by the foundation. It's not a case of they're banking out for the allotments and, you know, we make 10 grand and we move that over into another account. It is the Epilepsy Care Foundation. So if we want to do something else outside the allotments and the cash is there, we can do it. You know, and we have done. Now we will set up a capital fund, but that is down the road. That capital fund will be about raising money to build a centre. You know, kickstart with about 10 million, you know, go to the States, go here. There are ways of raising it, even in this climate.
To gardening matters and to bring it all full circle, are you proud of what you have achieved? I know you would have had a team. I know you may be slightly tired. I know there were people who may have been dubious. You can half put one of my feet in there if you wish. Not, I say dubious, I was just more, what am I doing in a field filled with weeds doing an interview from, because it wasn't a finished product and normally we get to call when it's kind of launch day. But are you proud of, do you wake up in the morning and go, boy done good, you should bring yourself out for a pint tonight?
Yeah, a pint would be nice, all right. Yeah, I am proud. I think the easiest way of putting it, though, would be that you say I'm tired. I'm not tired. And as long as I'm doing this, I won't get tired. What I am proud of and what I am, and we as a charity are very thankful for, is the amount of help we get, the volunteers we get, the people that are prepared to give us a few bob to do this, that and the other. You know, we had one guy, he did the London City Marathon for us, you know. We there's a lot of things like that going on. There's something else. We're going to launch a recipe book, recipes from the allotment. If anybody else robs that idea in the meantime, I'll sue you. We'll sue you. That's for this year. So that'll be a good Christmas present, folks. Yes, we're very proud of what's happened. Yes, we're very, very thankful and proud of the people that have helped us. And yes, it will work. It's proven itself. I'd love to do another one somewhere else to have the same effect. And it's, you know, people like you that are prepared to give it public exposure. We're delighted with that. You know, we're delighted with it.
It's a genuine honour sometimes to go back to a place and without bringing, I suppose, hailing myself or hailing Brian Green or anybody else, but there are times when I wonder why I do the sod show thing, and then you get to meet people like Brian who've brought you out to fields of weeds and said, if we build it, they will come. They did come. It's a very proud moment, and it is one of the many reasons why sometimes doing this garden radio thing in my spare time becomes a real genuine pleasure. And I think he's sitting right in front of me. If I could give a round of applause and a standing ovation, I would, but I'm here on my own, sitting in a log cabin in the middle of the allotments. The allotments are placed between, if you come from Pavilion Shopping Centre in Swords and head towards Malahide, you'll see them on the left-hand side. If you need any other information, we'll have all of the details for the Epilepsy Care Foundation and also Malahide Allotments up on sodshow.com. If it's in the future and you're listening to this in podcast, just go to sodshow.com, pop in epilepsy, and I guarantee you it will come up along with our first interview as well. Other than that, hit us a note at sodshow on Twitter or facebook.com/thesodshow. In the meantime, Brian, thank you so much, and it is back to you, Brian, in the studio.
Thanks, Peter, and thanks, Brian. It's epilepsycare.ie for more details, and check out everything on the blog. You can step back in time to when we first went out to Malahide and there was only a field there and it hadn't even been ploughed. That's at sodshow.com. It's 103.2 Dublin City FM, the Sod Show. We're here every Friday at 3, and it's our time to leave you now. Before we do, thanks to our sponsors, greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and for garden. Check them out on the internet at greensacks.ie, and you can check them out in the supermarket where you can drop them into your trolley. They're absolutely ideal for your brown bins. If you've one of those compostable bins in the Dublin city area, keeps the bin nice and clean. Or if they've got them small sized ones for in your kitchen as well. So check them out, Green Sacks. Thanks, lads. We're back next Friday at 3, with thanks to our producer, Peter Donegan, Katrina Redmond on the blogs. I'm Brian Green. Have a wonderful week. Take care. Bye-bye.